to Numbers chapter 14 this afternoon. Numbers 14. This is an interesting chapter because it follows chapter 13, which is when the 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes, were chosen by Moses, and they were then sent to investigate the land of Canaan before Israel began their attack on that country. They were gone for 40 days, as you might recall, and when they returned, they were full of fear. They were frightened to death. In fact, the 10 of the 12 gave this report. That land is just filled up with giants, and the cities are walled. The walls are thick and high, and they're heavily guarded, and we don't stand a chance. But of those 12 spies, two of them, remember, Joshua and Caleb, they urged the nation of Israel to arise and to enter the land. But what happened? Israel did not listen to Joshua and Caleb. Instead, they turned back from the promised land, and in fear, they cried out to God, or to Moses rather, and said, "Why did we ever leave Egypt? Let's go back. Let's return to Egypt." Can you imagine that? A land of bondage, a land of slavery. They wanted to go back to a land of slavery. At least we were alive. We don't know what's going to happen to us. We're going to die if we go forward. Not too long ago, we looked at Jonah chapter 3 in a study that I called Second Chances. And that is a chapter of second chances. Remember, Nineveh got a second chance. Jonah got a second chance, both of them. So that's what happened in Jonah chapter 3. What I want to do this afternoon is try to balance that. I mean, I want to balance second chances, that thought, with what I'm calling missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes we only get one chance. We only get one chance at fulfilling the will of God. And this is such a time. This account in Numbers 14 is just that. In fact, I think that Numbers 14 is one of the saddest stories in all of the Bible. They're right on the border of the land that God promised them, that land that is described as a land flowing with milk and honey. They're right on the border at Kadesh Barnea when Israel is on the border of Canaan. And they lost it. They lost the privilege of entering into that promised land. So I want to consider the reasons for that. The reasons for the missed opportunity that they had as a nation. And then other things that go along with that. But before we go any further, would someone volunteer to lead us in prayer this afternoon? I feel like I'm always praying. How about you pray? Anyone else? Yes. Go ahead, Brother Fred.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord. It's a privilege for the privilege of gathering together in your name. You've been so faithful and so kind to us. May this service be just as faithful to you as you are to us. Amen. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. So let's begin, as we open here to Numbers 14, let's begin by thinking about what is it that promotes, what is it that accounts, what is it that sets up missed opportunity? As far as God's will is concerned, what promotes missed opportunity? What's the reason for it? And so you have your Bible open to this chapter. Drop down with me chapter 13. I'm sorry. We're going to have to go over there first. Chapter 13. Is that what I'm? Okay. No. Actually, I'm thinking about chapter 11, 12, 13, 14. Leading up to this missed opportunity is a bunch of people, and I mean a bunch. There were, some believe that there were over 2 million that made up the congregation of Israel at that time. A bunch of people, and the majority of them were just filled with discontent. Discontentment. I mean, you see it in chapter 11. They're discontent. You know what's going on? They're not happy with the food. They're complaining about the water. They get manna, but that's not good enough. We want meat. And so God sends them the quail. You remember that story? And they're totally discontent. Whatever God provides for them, they're not happy with it. There's a discontentment. Listen, one of the leading reasons why any believer would ever miss the opportunity that God affords them in his will is that they are already discontent. That's what set up that prior wrong thinking over a period of time, set them up. This discontentment set them up to miss God's opportunity for them as a nation. You know that passage in Philippians chapter 3? It's a wonderful passage. We're probably most familiar with the verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know that verse? Have you ever really checked it in its context? You realize what Philippians 4:13 really means? Listen to the context. Paul says, I have learned in whatever state or condition I am in to be content. I'm content to be made low, abased, and I'm content to be lifted up, abound. In all things, I'm instructed, I'm taught to be full, and I'm taught to be hungry, to abound with everything and to suffer need of everything. He says, then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You realize what it means? It means that contentment is something that God does for us, that God brings into our lives, that we can be content no matter what our conditions, no matter what our circumstances or situation is, if we are dependent upon God to infuse his contentment into our hearts. That's the key to understanding Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, meaning I can be happy in any circumstance. I can be content in any circumstance if I am depending upon Christ to infuse his contentment into me. That's the understanding of that verse. And so discontentment is really a setup for missing an opportunity regarding the will of God in your life. You can't live a life of continual discontentment. We all get discontented at times. Our circumstances aren't always happy, so we always have to deal with discontentment from time to time. You can't live in that pattern. That's the key, because they were living in that pattern. Time after time, they were discontent with their circumstances, the Israelites in the wilderness. And so as a result, they set themselves up for that time when they would enter the promised land and miss that opportunity. Here's a second thing about discouragement. Discouragement is another thing that promotes missed opportunities regarding the will of God. These people, they were very discouraged. They were living on the basis of the majority opinion, which was really a negative opinion. They were living on the basis of popular thinking. What happens in chapter 13, if you recall, is those the 10 spies that give that evil report, they're the majority, right? And the congregation listens to the majority report and disregards the minority report of Joshua and Caleb, which was positive. They listened rather to the negative report They listen to negative popular opinion and thinking, the majority, the mainstream thinking. And so as a result, that led up to their missed opportunity, discontentment and also discouragement. Never let popular opinion determine God's will for you. Don't follow the majority opinion. It may be skewed. It may not be right. And there's a third reason, I think, that promoted and set up this missed opportunity for Israel, and what I would call detachment. By that, I mean they were disconnected from trusting God. They were detached from depending upon Him. They were rather depending upon their own resources and their own abilities. That's why they said they could never take these giants. They could never knock down these walled cities and occupy them, because they were detached from God and they were depending upon their own resources. Though Caleb and Joshua reminded them that, you know, God's with us and He'll do it through us, they chose not to trust God. Instead, they were enveloped by unbelief. Hope you're following with me, because this is going to lead to a good discussion, I trust, after we share some things. So that's what promotes Israel's missed opportunity, the reason for it: discontentment, discouragement, and detachment. Okay, so what's the reaction then when they get the report from those two spies, the negative report? What's the reaction? That is, what provokes missing opportunities in the will of God? What provokes and accounts for missed opportunities? And the first one, if you'll look with me in this 14th chapter, is that they were just filled with fear. Look at verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice and wept and cried, and the people wept that entire night. And they were just filled with fear. They had a phobia. You know, there's a lot of different phobias that people have. Phobias are fears. Your phobia might be different from someone else's. Your fear might be different from... What happened here is this phobia, this fear, this panic, if you will, panic attack, call it what you want, it rapidly spread and it quickly became pandemic among the congregation of Israel. You talk about a pandemic? This was a fear pandemic that gripped this people. They feared the enemies in the land of Palestine, or at that time, the land of Canaan, that promised land to them. You know what happened? And this is really ironic. Look at verse 34 and 35 in this 14th chapter of Numbers. He's talking about what they're going to suffer as a result of their rebellion and their missed opportunity. He said, the number of the days in which you have searched the land, 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquity, even for 40 years, you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness shall they be consumed, and they shall die. The irony here is simply this. These people were afraid of the inhabitants of the promised land that God was leading them into. They were afraid of the Canaanites. They were afraid of their human enemies. And what actually happened is God became their enemy. They pit themselves against God, and God's the sworn enemy of unbelief. And they make themselves God's enemy. Actually, that's exactly what's happening here. So fear, a phobia, here it is, of the giants, of the inhabitants of the land. That's what provoked them to miss this opportunity. Are there things that you fear that would steer you away from doing something that you know God wants you to do? It's easy. It's easy to succumb to that. It's easy to succumb to fears, to have a phobia of something that would steer you away and cause you to miss an opportunity to do the will of God. Don't let phobias like they did take over. Here's another thing, I think, a second thing. I call it not phobia, but amnesia. Because not only did they fear, they forgot. What did they forget? They forgot what God had done for them in the past, and very recent past. Think about it. They had just come out of Egypt a couple of weeks prior to that. They had come out of Egypt, months, I should say. They had been delivered out of Egypt. They had seen God part the waters of the ocean, the Red Sea, and they were able to escape through it. They saw God every day, except on the Sabbath, provide manna from heaven, rain down upon them. They saw God provide water in the desert out of a rock that Moses, of course, struck with his rod, and water poured forth. They saw God defeat their enemies, Amalek. They saw God lead them with that Shekinah, that cloud that was a cloud of glory during the day that was visible, and a pillar of fire at night. They saw God's protection, God's provision. God led them and met with them on Mount Sinai. All of that is the past, very recent past, and yet they had forgotten. They had forgotten what God had done for them. You know, Psalm 78 is an interesting psalm that really speaks to that very thing. He says in this psalm to the people of Israel, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to utter sayings of old. I want you to show this to your children, how God established a testimony in Jacob, that the generation to come might know them, and that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. And then he goes through a list in the 78th Psalm of all that God did for Israel during those 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And more than once, he says, don't forget, remember, don't forget, don't forget. And so what provokes a missed opportunity of doing God's will? Fear, obviously, a phobia, but also to forget, an amnesia, forgetting what God has done for you in the past. We need, as individuals, and I think this is just the way we're wired, this is why we need it, we need to record and track God's former blessings in our life. Do you have a way of doing that? Do you have maybe a notebook that you write things like that down, where you don't forget, where you write them down and you can even look at them in the future? You can review what God has done in your life in the past. And there are some key events that you're even prone to forget the big thing. They forgot the Red Sea. It had just happened. If God could drown the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, don't you think he could have given them the promised land? You need a way to keep track of God's blessings in your life. It really will give you faith for the opportunities that he gives ahead. There's a third thing, I think, that provokes missed opportunities. Not just the phobia, the fear, and the amnesia forgetting, but what I would call myopia. What is myopia? Well, myopia is simply a inability to see things in the distance. It's another word is nearsighted. You have myopia spiritually? Are you nearsighted spiritually? Are you unable to, you're able to see things close up, but you're not able to see things in the distant past or future? You're not able to see distant objects. Failing to remember God's past faithfulness will set you up then for an inability to see God's future faithfulness in your life. You'll lose a vision for God's future deliverance. These are three things that I think really provoke a missed opportunity in the will of God. What's the result of it all? What happens when we miss opportunity to do God's will? What's the result of this? What does it produce? Numbers 14, look at verse 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. What did he tell them? He told them that because you refused, you're not able to enter into the promised land anytime soon. And he told them that they were going to be instead turning back to where they came. And for 40 years, they were going to be wandering aimlessly in the desert for 40 years, literally going around in circles for 40 years. The result of that, it depressed them. They're depressed. Great grief flows over them. But yet, it didn't change their situation. Their depression didn't change the situation at all. In fact, it became too late for them to obey God. That's depressing. And so, there's a window of time, it seems, that if it passes, then opportunities are missed. And it produces a deep sadness, even a depression. And it introduces a prolonged misery into a person's life, equivalent to them 40 years wandering in the desert. This is why it's important not to miss the opportunity to obey the will of God whenever he presents it to you. Will he give you a second chance? Possibly. Not always guaranteed. Here's an occasion when there wasn't a second chance. For this generation of people, there was not a second chance for these adults. They missed the window. They missed the opportunity. And it produced great grief and sadness and depression. And that continued on, I'm sure. That was prolonged misery in their life. Well, what did they do? What did they do? Verse 40, look at it in your Bible. They rose up early in the morning. They got up into the top of the mountain, and they said, lo, we be here. We'll go into the place which the Lord promised, that promised land, for we've sinned. Look at verse 41. Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. What are they doing here? Okay, they're depressed. And their answer to overcoming their depression is to say, okay, we made a mistake. We're ready now to do what God wants us to do. But the opportunity to do the will of God has been missed. But in their mind, it hasn't. In their mind, they're going to defy God's order. They're going to defy God to do what they want to do. They're going to defy the will of God. He's already said, nope, you're not going in now. Instead, you're going to turn back to the wilderness. You're going to wander for 40 years. They said, no, we're not. We're going to do what you want us to do. And so they start out and they want to defy the will of God. And they transgress the will of God. They cross over, you might say, and trespass against God's will. They're defiant. So they're depressed. Now they're defied. They're defying God. They're defiant to push forward when God says otherwise. And you know what that always invites? When you defy the will of God, it invites defeat. And they are defeated. Look what happens. Verse 43, The Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. You'll fall by the sword because you turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. But they presume, verse 44, here's the, they're defying the will of God. They presume to go up to the top of the hill. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them and discomfited them. In other words, they were struck and they were crushed by their enemies, the Amalekites and the Canaanites. Their lives were destroyed. They were totally defeated. And what happens is whoever is left of that entire generation, 20 years old and upward, they die off in the desert over the remaining 40 years that they wander there. And none of them ever even see, let alone set foot in that land of promise. But let's go back and picture it. They're on the very edge of this wonderful promised land that God gives them. But because they're unwilling to trust God, they have to turn around and head back in the very direction they just came from, back into the desert. I'm thinking, imagine how Moses must have felt, right? Imagine what must have been going through Moses's mind. Imagine the disappointment that Moses must have faced personally. In fact, as a result of this, it set up a big failure in the life of Moses. In chapter 20, we read about it. He and Aaron get angry, and as a result of their anger and detracting from the glory of God, Moses and Aaron don't enter the promised land either. And it's because of these people. Well, I know there's personal responsibility, but I'm thinking from Moses' standpoint, how disappointed he must have been. You know, the sadness of this story really is simply this. It's so true to life. It's so true to human life that there are times in all of our lives when we have an opportunity to seize the will of God. And if we do so, greatness will result. I'm not talking about greatness for us, but God will do some great things. But if we miss that opportunity, then we're left to wander, so to speak. An opportunity really isn't always standing at the door and knocking. It's not waiting at the door for us. We ought never to be wanting to aimlessly wander without any real purpose in our life. Though doing the will of God is the purpose for our lives. But if we miss the opportunity, you can seek God and you can fulfill your life's purpose, or you can miss the opportunity to accomplish God's will for your life, and it can become too late to obey. You know, I was reading in Ecclesiastes 12 this morning, and the gist of that last chapter in Ecclesiastes is this. Listen to God, get squared away with God, do the will of God as early as possible as you can in your life. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth, because he says, basically, there's going to come a time when you're unable to do the will of God and you'll miss the opportunity. So do it while you can. Do it while you're young. Do it. Right away. That's the message of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, and I don't share this to discourage anyone, but I want this to be sobering. I want this to be a sobering thought so that we don't miss our opportunity to accomplish God's will. And I'm thinking of everyone, but I'm thinking specifically about our young generation here. Opportunity is available to do the will of God. Don't miss it. You may or may not have another opportunity to fulfill the will of God. So don't miss it. And I don't want you to stress over it. Because if you will simply submit yourself, if you will surrender yourself as a child of God to doing the will of God, he'll show you. You won't have to scratch your head and stress out and wonder, what does God want me to do? He'll show you. Just walk step by step with him every day. And he'll make it all clear, his time, his way. But when he does, don't miss the opportunity. All right, that's all I wanted to say.